Hey guys, Kyle back with Kyle Bro's Unedited Podcast, episode number 129. Oof. Good weekend in the Sweet 16, Elite 8. Always, you know, enjoy watching March Madness. It's coming to a close. So we'll obviously get into that to start. Do reactions to the Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four predictions. Then we're going to get into... It's not going to be a very deep, possibly not even a long pod... But final NBA conference standing predictions with some playoff picks. My 1.0 2024 NFL division rankings predictions. Wanted to get one out before the draft. And then after, we'll do one after as well. And then obviously 21.0 NFL mock draft with trades. So these will be with trades today. Hold on, let me situate some stuff here. Okay, so the mock draft will close it, and I'll just say it now before last episode of KB and the Boys season, 5 will be, this Thursday, I think, because, Carter has a, soccer game, he coaches, high school soccer. Shout out to the, Hutch High women's, soccer team for winning the Titan Classic tournament over in Wichita. Good for them. And then Colby, he has a wedding, I believe, on Friday night. So we're gonna do it Thursday. All the lines will be out for college basketball anyway, and whatever else you want to bet on for locks. I did not hit my 5-unit. Shout out Chelsea for the loss. So I dropped 7. Was trying to gun for Colby. So you're gonna see a pretty outlandish 7-unit play this weekend. It's going to have to be big plus money to try to catch him at this point. You know, I know that I've done well though this season. I know that I've just gunned for it the last 2 weeks, and because in my opinion, ain't first or last. So I want to get first. I don't care if I finished wherever I finished, second, third, fourth. I want to try to get first. So that's what I'm going to gun for. But yeah, it'll be the last episode of the season. I believe we're going to go to teams. I'm not completely sure. We'll probably talk about it on the pod Thursday, but yeah, I don't know what we're going to do exactly, but hopefully we'll be doing something, but we'll see what happens there. okay. So yeah, let's get into some March Madness talk here. Poof. All right. So reaction to the Sweet 16 Elite 8. So over in the East region, in the Sweet 16, UConn just absolutely rolls San Diego State by 30. It was 40-31 at half, and then in the second half it was 42-21. I mean, they're just so good. They're by far the best team in the country, and yeah, they just rolled them. Illinois was able to hold off Iowa State. They played well offensively and defensively in that game, winning 72-69 to advance to the Elite Eight, where they met UConn. And early on, Illinois was playing well. I thought UConn was playing just not very good compared to Illinois playing really well. I thought Illinois played well, but I did not think UConn was playing good at all. It was 23-23 at one point, right? It was 23-23, almost halftime. UConn goes on a little 5-0 run to end the half, up 28-23. Next time Illinois would end up scoring a basket, the score was 53-23. A 30-0 run by UConn. 30-0. I mean, they just overwhelm you. Their intensity, their pressure, their execution. It just overwhelms teams. Like to use something that I've thought about in sports, it's in a way how Floyd Mayweather was. First 3 rounds, four rounds, download your data, what you're doing, you know, what you're throwing at me, what combination am I going to see coming, and then I'm taking over the rest of the fight. First half of the last 2 games, played average, and then second half, Dan Hurley makes adjustments, realizes what they're doing, and they come out and just dominate you. I mean, San Diego State up 9 at half, and then only up 5 at half against Illinois, and then winning by 30-25. it's just scary what they can do. Like, if you're Illinois in that situation, you held them to 28 points, you have to feel disgusted that you only have 23. Like, you're like, damn, we should be winning right now. And we're losing by five. And we play, and they played poor. And we're down five. It's crazy. It's insane. I just don't see them losing. Obviously, I mean, again, they would have to play bad for 40 minutes. Yeah, well, no, I shouldn't say 40. They would have to play bad for 30 minutes. And a team could get a lead on them. And they don't come back. And then you just hope they don't come back in the final 10. I don't know what's... I just don't know how they lose. Bama upset UNC in a track race, 89-87. That was an exciting basketball game. Felt like North Carolina really just... They ran out of legs late. They just ran out of legs. RJ Davis played really poor, and that was their downfall. Big, you know, well, they had a huge missed dunk at one point by Baycott that was literally like just an easy dunk, and he just threw it off back. He just threw it off the back of the rim, basically. But yeah, that was what an upset that was. And then Clemson in the same West region upsets Arizona 77-72, and they really deserved to win that game. They were better the entire game. Clemson was. And then so the Final Four was Bama, Clemson. Clemson started off the game really well. I think it was 26-12. And then Alabama came back and got the lead, and I think almost had – I think they had the lead the rest of the game. They won 89-82 to reach the Final Four, so congrats to Alabama. You know, your prize is UConn in the Final Four, though. But, yeah, Nate Oates, tremendous job. That was one of the teams going to the tournament that I said I didn't like. I thought they faded down the stretch, and I really didn't like them. They were like the one SEC team. Them and who – yeah, they were really like the one of the more elite SEC teams. I loved Kentucky. I had Tennessee. I had Kentucky in the national title. I had Tennessee in the Elite Eight. I had Auburn in the Sweet 16 losing to UConn. I had Alabama losing in round one. So they were one of the SEC teams I just was not high on coming in. I was high on South Carolina as well. Just wasn't high. And on Florida. And I just was not high. I was picked the wrong SEC team. But yeah, tremendous job by Nate Oates on this run. It's been a great run for them. It'd be a tough matchup, though, coming Saturday night. Over in the South region, Duke beats a hobbled Houston, 54-51. I do not think Duke would have been in the Elite Eight if it wasn't for Shedd's injury, and I do not think NC State would be in the Final Four if it wasn't for Shedd's injury. I think Houston would have got there. But Duke was able to find a way to win. Obviously, it was still tight. That's how good Houston is. You know, with Shedd out, 54-51, had a chance to tie it late. But Duke advanced, and obviously NC State upset Marquette 67-58. They really dominated that whole game too. And then today, NC State shocks Duke 76-64 to reach the Final Four. Duke started off pretty well. And then the start of the second half, NC State just really got after him, and Duke couldn't make shots, and NC State ran away with it, winning by 12. So congrats on the Cinderella story again. It's crazy. Heading in the ACC tournament, everyone literally said that their only chance to make the – they were the 10 seed in the ACC tournament. People don't realize that's what's crazy. They had to win the ACC tournament to get in. They did that. And now here we go. They beat Tech. They beat Oakland. They beat Marquette. And then Duke today. And so they're into the Final Four over in the Midwest region. But this is the only – yeah, the only region in the Elite Eight where it was one versus two. Yeah. Purdue just overwhelmed Gonzaga in the second half to win 80-68. Gonzaga played really good with them in the first half, but Purdue just overwhelmed them. And then Tennessee hung on to beat Creighton. They had a huge run at one point to get a pretty big lead, and then Creighton fought all the way back to make it close, but Tennessee was able to hang on. And then today, what a game between Purdue and Tennessee. Zach Edey, Dalton Connect. It was a heavyweight prize fight, and they were throwing hammers at each other. But Purdue takes down Tennessee. Hard-fought battle, 72-66 to reach the Final Four. First time since 1980 for Purdue. So congratulations to them. So the Final Four, it'll be played Saturday, April 6th in Phoenix. The 6:09 p.m. Eastern game will be Purdue-NC State. Sad news for the Final Four. I think they're both kind of blowouts, if you would say. I just think they're both kind of blowouts. I think NC State's dream run comes to an end. This is the 6:09 p.m. Eastern game, Purdue-NC State. I think NC State's dream run comes to an end. I think Purdue's shooting and Zach Edey is just going to be too much for them. I got Purdue 77-63 to advance to the national title. on Monday. The 8:49 p.m. Eastern game, UConn-Alabama. Again, just don't think Alabama's defense is going to be good enough. And UConn's is. I think Alabama will score a little more than some teams have here against UConn. I got UConn 88-71 advancing to the national title. Like I said, I kind of think two blowouts. I just, in my opinion, they're both mismatches. I think Purdue is just way better than NC State, and I think UConn's just way better than Alabama. Alabama's just going to have to shoot the three great. If they shoot the three great, they could hang around. And NC State, I think, getting maybe Zach Edey in foul trouble by using DJ Burns and attacking the rim, potentially, that could give them both. You know, those are kind of hope for both teams. I just don't see it, though. I think UConn and Purdue are the two best teams. I think Houston's the second best team in the country. I think that, but Purdue's right there at three, and UConn's definitely one. So UConn versus Purdue for the national title on Monday, April 8th. I think this will be the first time where UConn, I just think that Purdue shoots a three well enough, and they play well enough offensively to where they will stay in the game, and they'll be in the game. Like, it'll be a tight game for a bit. I think UConn pulls way a little late. I got UConn 78-70 in the national title. UConn goes back-to-back, and they cut down the nets for the second year in a row. That's just kind of what I think. Like I said, I just think the Final Four, a couple mismatches. I really do. I think Duke, if they would have played better, they could have given Purdue a much better game than NC State will. I just don't see NC State putting up much of a game with Purdue. I think Purdue's probably up 10 most of the game, 10 to 12, end up winning by 14, 15. And I think UConn's probably up, you know, 10 to 14 most of the game, and they end up winning 15, 17. I just think that's how it's going to go. I just don't see the games being that competitive. I hope I'm wrong, because I want, you know, if I'm watching basketball, I want to see competitive games, of course. But, I just don't. I think the spreads are UConn minus 11.5 over Alabama and Purdue minus 9.5 over NC State. I think those are both fair. I saw somebody's like, did you see the spread? And he goes, and the guy goes, no. He's like, it's 11.5. And the guy goes, isn't that, what do you think about that? He's like, too low. I can agree with that on UConn. I think the Purdue spread might be a tad low, but I think they're fair for a Final Four. I would agree that both of them should be double. I think they should both be double digit favorites for sure. Obviously coming to a close on March Madness, and the podcast next week will probably be Monday night, after the national title. I'll do the podcast. I'll wait. This one's obviously coming out here Monday morning, but it'll probably come out Tuesday morning next week. Just because, you know, I want to be able to recap the national title, and then obviously that'll be the week of UFC 300 as well. So it'll be a big podcast that night, or that Tuesday morning. So let's get into some final NBA conference standing predictions with some playoff picks. So these I'm doing just the top 10, and then I'll pick the play-in games. And this is early, obviously. This isn't really much thought into it. I understand the matchups and stuff, but this isn't much thought. So I got the Celtics obviously finishing first. That's a given. I think it's already wrapped. Bucks second. I'm going Knicks to catch the Cavs. That's my only flip in the current standings in the East. Knicks 3, Cavs 4. I am sticking Magic 5, Pacers 6, Heat 7, Bulls 9, and Hawks 10. Play-in. I think the Heat will beat the Sixers and get the 7. I think the Bulls will beat the Hawks. I don't know, Levine. I'm going to go Hawks beat the Bulls, actually. And the Hawks and Sixers play. I'm going to take the Sixers because Embiid's supposed to be back. So they're the 8. Celtics, Sixers. I mean, shitty draw if you're the Celtics, of course. But I got the Celtics in 5. Bucks, Heat. This is interesting to me. Do I fully believe? Because I think the Bucks are very vulnerable because of their defense. And their depth, in my opinion, is not very good. Do I think Jimmy Butler actually can flip it one more time? Right now, I'm going to go Bucks in 7, but I'm not sold on that pick at all. Knicks-Pacers, I'm going to go Knicks in 6. And then Cavs-Magic, I'm going to go Cavs in 5. Just the inexperience of the Magic. I think the Cavs, you know, got some playoff experience last year. I think they'll be able to handle that series. So you got Celtics-Cavs. I'm going to take the Celtics in 6. I think this is a team that can match up decently with the Celtics, though, with their length. But I'm going to go Celtics in 6. And then Bucks-Knicks, I'm actually going to go Knicks in 7. I think the Knicks get it done over the Bucks and go to the Eastern Conference Finals to take on the Celtics, who I have winning that series in 6. Celtics to the NBA Finals out of the East. In the West, I got the Nuggets finishing first, the Thunder second, the Timberwolves third, the Clippers fourth, the Mavs fifth. I don't really change much, 6 through 7, Pelicans 6, Suns 7. I have the Lakers over the Kings because the Lakers are playing really good right now. They have a very, very favorable schedule going out. The Kings do not. Kings actually have a pretty tough schedule going out. So I'm going the Lakers get 8, Kings 9, and Warriors 10. Also, the Kings, Hoyt are out for the year, Monk out 6 to 8 weeks. That's tough. Those are two huge losses for the Kings. So I'm going to go Warriors over Kings. In the 9-10, so the Warriors will play for the 8. I'm going to go Lakers over the Suns. Again, a team I think the Lakers match up well with is the Suns. So I'm going to go Lakers get the 7, and then I'm going to go Suns get the 8 over the Warriors. So the Nuggets get the Suns in round 1. I am going to take the Nuggets in 7. I think this could be one of their tougher series. No, I'm not going to go 7. I'm going to go Nuggets in 6. Nuggets beat the Suns in 6. This is a perfect matchup for the Lakers. I've said for a while I want Thunder or I want Wolves. I'm taking Lakers in 6 over the Thunder. Wolves and Pelicans, I'm going to take the Wolves in 6. I'm going to take the Wolves in 5, actually. I think there's a better team. And we'll go 6 to be safe. Clippers-Mavs, this is a very tough matchup here for the Clippers. They have not played well against Luka historically, and now that Luka has Kyrie, I'm going to take the Dallas Mavericks in 7 to advance to play the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets-Mavs, I'm going to go Nuggets in 6, and then I'm going to go Lakers over the Wolves in 6. Setting up Lakers-Nuggets as of right now. Give me the Nuggets in 7, and that gives Nuggets-Celtics. I'm going Nuggets back-to-back. Nuggets win in 6 over the Boston Celtics to get their second straight NBA championship. So that's what we're going to go with there. And we'll look at the end, we're going to look at some UFC cards as well here. I always like doing that. See if there's any new fights that are booked up. I saw they did Newark, New Jersey will be UFC 302. But here we go. This is going to be my 1.0 2024 NFL division rankings prediction. In the NFC East, as of now, I got the Eagles 1. I think they've loaded up. They've done a tremendous job this offseason. I still have the Cowboys at 2 over the rest. Just because I don't think the rest – I think the Redskins have a better chance than the Giants, but I just won't trust a rookie quarterback to get second in that division. So I'm going to go Cowboys, Redskins, Giants. Don't love the Cowboys offseason at all. I think it's been a big dud and not very good. NFC North, I have the Lions at 1. I have the Packers at 2. I have the Bears at 3, and I actually have the Vikings at 4. Obviously, Carter turned the podcast off right now. I just think even if the Vikings get a J.J. McCarthy, I don't think it turns around immediately. And I know they have Sam Darnold. I still just don't think that they go and win 9-10 games with Sam Darnold next year. I think it's going to be a down year for Minnesota. So I have them going 4th as of now. NFC South, Falcons. I mean, getting Kirk Cousins was huge. I think their offense is going to be outstanding. Their defense is going to be good. I like Atlanta to win the South. Buccaneers 2nd, Saints 3rd, and Panthers obviously 4th. NFC West, really the same rankings as last year. I got Niners, Rams, Seahawks, Cardinals. I think the Rams will be solid around 9-8, 10-7. Probably get a wild card, and I think the 49ers will win 12, 13 games. AFC East, very stacked division. The AFC is so stacked besides the West. AFC East, I got Bills 1 as of now, but the Jets roster looks nasty. It's going to depend on Rodgers' health. They're in 2nd for me. Dolphins in 3rd, and obviously the Patriots in 4th. AFC North, I got the Ravens 1, Browns 2, Bengals 3, Steelers 4. It's also a stacked division with the Steelers. I think Tomlin's run could come to an end, though, with Russell Wilson. But I do think that could get 3. The wild card is going to be tough, man, because you got Jets, Dolphins, Browns, Bengals, and then in the AFC South, I have the Texans winning it, but then you got the Jaguars, Colts. That the wild card, again, is going to be very tough to get. Titans obviously finishing 4th in the South, and in the West, I think the Chiefs probably win it by 4 or 5 games. And then I got the Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. I don't know who the Raiders quarterbacks are. Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew. Don't trust them. Don't trust Antonio Pierce yet as a head coach. I know he was great as an interim. Now it's going to be a lot different, though. A full offseason and just more pressure. That's how I have the West finishing out. 21.0. Let me get a drink, and then we'll get into the 21.0 2024 NFL mock draft. All right, this will just be one round, but it does have some trades. So let's go take a look at the calendar again, how we're going to... So this is going to be out here Monday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. So we're gonna have one mock draft here, 21.0. Then we're gonna have 22.0, 23.0, and then I will probably post 24.0 on the socials because I don't think I'll do an unedited that week of April, the week of April 22nd. But I'll have 24.0 on Twitter, and then I will have my draft special on April 24th. Because the draft starts the 25th, right? If the draft starts the 25th, we will have a 2024 NFL draft date, April 25th. So yeah, April 24th. That'll be. So here we go. April 1st this Monday, 21.0. Next week, unedited. 22.0. The week after that, the 15th, 23.0. Social media will be posted 24.0. And then Wednesday night, the 24th, I will do my draft special that'll be out Thursday morning, the day of the first round, and that'll be 25.0. So yeah, you got 1, 2, 3, 4. You got these are 5 mock drafts remaining, 4 after this one. So let's get into it here. 21.0. 2024 NFL mock draft with trades, only one round though. I think the next 4 mock drafts will all be 2 rounds. Maybe the last 3. Maybe next week will be my last first round with no trades. Just what I think would happen if everyone sticks, which obviously isn't super realistic. But the last 3 though will be 2 rounds, and yeah, that'll be that. Number 1, Bears via the Panthers at 1. Obviously, Caleb Williams, quarterback at USC. That's become a given. Obviously, with the Fields trade, I think that's what they will do. Redskins at 2. I'm going Jaden Daniels, quarterback LSU. At 3, the Patriots take Drake May, quarterback out of North Carolina. At 4, the Cardinals take Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver, Ohio State. Don't care about what's being spoke around. Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best receiver in this class, and he will be the first receiver taken. Here's the first trade. The Vikings will get pick 5. The Chargers will get pick 11, 23, a 2025 second, and a 2025 fourth. The Vikings move up to 5 to take J.J. McCarthy, quarterback out of Michigan. At 6, the New York Giants. Don't know what they're thinking. There's always a pick that you're like, holy shit. And for some reason, something's telling me, just after what I've been reading, that the Giants loved Penix. I don't have it here. Would not shock me if there was a shock pick here at 6 and it was Michael Penix. I'm just going to say, I'm not going to put it out there, but I would not be surprised. That could be a shock one. But I have Malik Nabers here at 6 to the Giants. Titans at 7. Again, I think Joe Alt, best tackle in the draft. I think I don't know if he has like the highest ceiling. I think he's the safest tackle as well. He's the best tackle right now, and he's the safest tackle in this draft. Falcons at 8. I got Dallas Turner, edge of Alabama. I just think he's too good. Bears at 9. I think the Keenan Allen trade, they could address things. They could go edge here as well. But I'm actually going to go Olufoshanu, offensive tackle out of Penn State. Jets at 10. I'm going Brock Bowers. You know, they got Mike Williams. I think they could maybe just go with Bowers instead. So I got Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia, the Jets at 10. Chargers via the trade down. To 11, take Romo Dunze, wide receiver out of Washington. Obviously, cut Mike Williams, traded Keenan Allen. I think wide receivers are going to be in need. Wouldn't shock me at all if they're not willing to trade down to see if they can get Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers at 5. But I think that's a really good haul to get back. You get an extra first and 2 draft assets next year. Broncos at 12. I'm going Bo Nix, quarterback out of Oregon. I think the Broncos really like him, and I think him and Sean Payton could do really well together. So here's another trade. Jaguars get pick 13. Raiders move down to 17, get a 2024 third and a 2025 fourth. And the Jaguars take Quinion Mitchell, cornerback out of Toledo. Saints at 14 take Jared Versay, the edge out of Florida State. Colts at 15 take Terrion Arnold. Hold up. What happened here? Hold on. Sorry, guys. This was not the original one. Okay. Yep, I see what we're doing here. Okay, flip that. Sorry about that. Yeah, this was a different mock, kind of, because it was like a, since it was trades, everything, there we go. So yes, I do have the Colts taking Terron Arnold, quarterback out of Alabama. It was just different because I had trades going up and down. Yeah, here we go. So this is a run of offensive linemen here. Seattle at 13 takes Troy Fitanu out of Washington. Raiders via the trade down take J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Alabama. Oh no, I see what it did. Dude, this whole thing got mixed up. Okay, reverse. This was not the first. I did a couple. I wanted to make sure I was doing it right. Did not. Okay, so that's going to go there. There, he's going. And that's there. Okay, yeah, now we're back on. Okay. I think we're good now. Okay, got it. Okay, and then, so the Dolphins then trade with the Bengals. Sorry about that. Dolphins trade with the Bengals. To trade up to pick 18, because I think they see the running offensive linemen. The Steelers are sitting there. The Rams are sitting there. So they get pick 18. The Bengals get pick 21, a 2024 fifth, and a 2025 fourth. The Dolphins take Talis Fuaga, offensive tackle, Oregon State. Rams at 19 take Latu Latu, the edge out of UCLA. The Steelers at 20 take Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, out of LSU. Obviously, Deontay Johnson gone. I think they need another one in there to get Russ or Justin Fields a weapon. I love that pick for the Steelers. 21, the Bengals go Byron Murphy, interior D-lineman out of Texas, to boost that interior. Eagles go Cooper DeJean, defensive back out of Iowa. Chargers, with their second first-round pick, obviously with the trade down, they're going to go offensive tackle this time, Amarius Mims out of Georgia. Cowboys at 24 take Adonai Mitchell, wide receiver out of Texas. Obviously, I think this could definitely be offensive tackle. That's obviously very, very possible. But I just think Adonai Mitchell is a great weapon, and I think the Cowboys could use that right now with not really signing any receivers. Packers at 25 go Jerzon Newton, interior D lineman out of Illinois. The Buccaneers go Edrin Cooper, interior linebacker out of A&M. I love this guy. He's so good. I think if they're, you know, obviously Peyton Wilson could get in here as well, but I think Edrin Cooper is the best linebacker in the class. Cardinals at 27 go Chop Robinson, edge out of Penn State. Bills at 28 go Keon Coleman, wide receiver, Florida State. 29, the Lions go Nate Wiggins, corner out of Clemson. And the last trade of the mock, Raiders get pick 30. The Ravens get pick 44, a 2025 second, and a 2025 fourth. And the Raiders take Michael Penix Jr., quarterback out of Washington, to get that fifth-year option, first-round pick, fifth-year option on Michael Penix Jr. 49ers go Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of OU. And the Chiefs end it with Troy Franklin, wide receiver out of Oregon. So that is my 21.0 mock draft with trades. That will be the mock. 21.0 mock draft with trades. So yeah, we will have, you know, it's getting close, which I loved. I can't get enough of draft season, so I'm very pumped about you know, it's April, and draft season is one of my favorites. So yeah, that'll be it for unedited. Like I said, not too much to talk about, but shoot. It'll be next week. We'll obviously react to the Final Four in the national title, UFC 300. So that'll be a big segment. Another mock draft, more NBA playoff talk as we get closer. Yeah, I cannot wait for UFC 300. What a card that is going to be. My opinion, depth wise, the greatest card in UFC history. I mean, so many fighters that are on the undercard that are former world champions. It's just an insane card, and I cannot wait for it. Knock on wood, we don't have injuries. But yeah, and again, coming here Thursday, Friday, KB and the boys, final episode of this season. Colby probably has it in the bag, but like I said, I'm going to gun because, I mean, I don't care if I finish second, third, or fourth, or whatever. I'm just going to try to get first. So you're going to see an outrageous seven-unit play from me on Thursday night, so be ready to have a lookout for that. But yeah, we'll be back next. It'll be out Tuesday morning next week with episode 130. Thank you all for listening. I appreciate all the support. Love you. Peace.